Adventure 20, attacking the Temple of the Frog the next night or morning. Jelly, if we all go to the temple together, I think we have a good chance at taking it. It's well guarded from the outside, but once inside the walls there's only a few guards in the temple itself. We don't have many weapons now, but it shouldn't be too hard to take out the few guards inside the temple with some automatic blaster fire. Then we can scavenge weapons from them and hold up the priests. They will be at a disadvantage, because their spellcasting will be disrupted by the wild magic field. Now, we need to plan this out. I've been on raids like this before, so I think my experience can be applied here. How does this sound? First thing in the morning, we assemble in the garden. Once we're all together, we head down to the temple, claim that we wish to receive healing, and go inside. We should enter the temple and close its doors behind us, as soon and with as little noise as possible. We should bar them or lock them, if we can. Then, someone should open the door to the room that Milo saw the guards in, while someone sprays automatic fire into the room. It hopefully won't take long to take out the guards this way. Someone else should keep the priests busy, preferably not actually shooting them, unless they make the first move. Once the guards are down, we take as many weapons as we can. Now, I have a few problems with just going in there and blasting everything. I'm opposed to using violence, unless it furthers justice somehow. I don't see how killing the priests will help free the slaves. I'm also not convinced that the frog soldiers are being mind-controlled. Killing the priests might just make the soldiers angry. I'm going along with this, because this place is dangerous and we need to take decisive action to get out. Self-preservation is the other circumstance, where violence becomes reasonable, so here we are. How does the plan sound to you all? I think you may be underestimating the priests in allowing them to live. Even with wild magic, they can be very, very dangerous. Remember the blaze storm that even now is blocking the first bridge? Imagine that appearing around all of us. I don't like killing without reason either, but in this case I would say we are justified. These are priests of a religion that feeds slaves to some kind of frog, after all. I find it unlikely that any of them are truly innocent. Milo, sounds to me like Sid's got a good general plan so far, and Jelly's got some good tactical suggestions. How are we going to convince them that we all need healing without raising suspicion? Perhaps we could claim that we've all come down with some sort of common sickness that we must have picked up out in the wilds? Maybe some sort of painful stomach nausea? They might just let us all in at once without suspecting trouble, if we look like we're barely able to walk. We might even put Amir on a stretcher for good measure, and he could hide his weapons more easily under the blanket. If we claim we need healing, however, we might also need a backup plan. We might get there and they'll tell us they're not doing any healing, because they're still trying to figure out the wild magic problem. So maybe then we tell them that we have figured out the wild magic problem, and we'll trade our knowledge for their healing? Or maybe we just ask to pray as a group in the temple? I don't know. Or, here's an idea, instead of pretending to need healing, maybe we tell them that two of our drow want to get married in the temple, and that all of us want to attend the wedding. But then, we don't know if they even do weddings. Sid, instead of requesting healing, perhaps we should all tell them we are interested in joining. Last time, they were quick to let us all in, when we said we might join. Lieutenant Val, I like the idea about asking to join. They were very accommodating and we can get in a room with one brother of the frog. Apparently they aren't from this planet anyway. Two may enter a few minutes later and bar the door and take out the front door guards. Zoltan, how many guards were inside the temple? Outside? Where were they positioned? Since Amio won't give me a weapon, I suggest that Amio and Orendel focus fire on one guard, while myself and others run a distraction. Then, when the first guard falls I can get armed and help take out the rest. Was the door bar able? Were there any electronic locks? Do we know of any other ways into the temple? Wait a minute. Does anyone know if there is a passage between the barracks and the temple? We might not be able to secure any part of the temple, especially if there is a quick passage from the barracks to the temple. If we go in and bar the doors, we might be able to take out the few guards in the front really easily. But then we might just be surrounded by guards from the inside, and the rest is history. So, on second thought, I like the plan to go join and get into the upper levels. Then we might be able to find our way to St. Stephen, and if he is captured or killed, then we might have more bargaining power. All assuming that St. Stephen is even in there. By the way, Amio, I hope you are as good a shot as you make yourself out to be. I don't know your reason for not giving me a weapon, but I'm the best shot in this party. Don't be surprised if the tide turns against us for me to grab your backup and show you how to really shoot it. And remember, these guards are better than your basic little Jithyanketians. They look equivalent to the knights that we faced, and are even more dangerous if they have automatic weapons. Two good shooters, and Milo as backup, might not be enough to overpower a large group. You casters need to keep casting to a minimum, too. Orendel, I think the idea of asking to join the order sounds most promising, but the gift of the frog worries me. Last time a magic user gave me a gift, it left me reeling for days. Milo, if I remember right, they let all of us who said we were interested in joining into the interview room on the first floor, but then they said they would only take us one by one to be formally inducted into the order, wherever they do that. That's the point at which Nick and I said we needed more time to think about joining. So saying we want to join seems like it should have a good chance of getting us in the main door, and into a first floor interview room, but I think that's all we should expect. Alejandra, well, I have been good at creating distractions lately, buzzing the guards and whatnot. I could always try to get them to chase me again. Sid, that's all I think we need. After hearing the following from Zoltan. By the way, Amyo, I hope you are as good a shot as you make yourself out to be. I don't know your reason for not giving me a weapon, but I'm the best shot in this party. Don't be surprised, if the tide turns against us, for me to grab your backup and show you how to really shoot it. And remember, these guards are better than your basic little Jithyankeetians. They look equivalent to the knights that we faced, and are even more dangerous, if they have automatic weapons. Two good shooters, and Milo as backup, might not be enough to overpower a large group. You casters need to keep casting to a minimum, too. Amyo snarls something under his breath and leaves the tavern abruptly. Amyo does leave an assault blaster for Orendel with 3 power packs of ammo. After a brief discussion, the party started to enact their plan and entered the temple saying we were there to join. Amyo had never returned after he left the night before, so the party didn't have his help. As soon as everyone was inside, Zoltan and Milo began to shoot the guide who was leading us. One ran and locked the large double doors shut. Unfortunately, the drow that was supposed to kick in the door for Orendel to blast the guards was caught off balance and Orendel did nothing. Pretty much all of the drow had ones for in it. The guide Zoltan and Milo were shooting proved to be highly armored and trained fighter and he whipped out a blaster rifle and proceeded to lay some smack down himself. Nick noticed that there was a halfling guard sitting in the pews. Orendel tried to kick the door in but failed. He then opened it using the handle. Sid started casting at the guide who was putting up a really good fight between Zoltan, Milo, and Alejandra. Nick started shooting at the guard in the pews. This was when Keith left. Keith, the round after you left Nick was dropped to 3 HPs, technically he went to negative something, but Manny was nice and let him live. Don't let Mandy play your character. Nick began to cast spells at the guard at this point. The guy finally went down and Milo and Zoltan were able to turn their attention to the guard. He was much harder than the guide. Wong charged the guard as Sid continued to cast. The guards in the room began to fight Orendel and Jelly. At one point, they launched a grenade into the middle of Alejandra, Sid, Milo, Zoltan and Wong. The grenade managed to kill the drow lieutenant. Wong tried to grapple the halfling guard but found himself easily bested. The guard continued to blast everyone. Sid and Nick continued to cast spells, they cast a spell pretty much every round. Zoltan fired a full burst into the halfling guard but one of Sid's wild surges had made all damage the guard took transfer to Sid. Sid was now at 0. Wong punched the halfling guard and did 12, killing Sid. The halfling guard finally began to run and Wong chased. Nick cast a spell and the wild surge caused him, the halfling guard, Wong, and a gnome commoner to change places. All of this time, Orendel and Jelly were still fighting two guards in the small guard room Milo had found on his first trip. Zoltan, Milo, and Alejandra began to shoot at the halfling guard who was now in Nick's clothing. Nick's magical amulet caused a wild surge that turned a nearby column into a stone golem. The golem whopped the halfling guard as he ran away, then began advancing on Nick. Zoltan opened up on the fleeing halfling after nearly shooting Wong, who was in the spot the halfling had been in, and managed to kill him. Wong had pulled a grenade from all of the stuff he had teleported into the halfling guard's gear and already activated it. Since the halfling was dead he threw at the golem. He missed and the grenade bounced a little bit. It went off damaging the golem, as well as Zoltan and Nick. Nick, being seriously wounded from earlier, fell over dead. Wong killed not one but two, yes two PCs tonight. Zoltan managed to blow the golem to little bits and Orendel and Jelly finished off the two guards. In the guard room they found two prisoners, at least one of which seems ready to grab a gun and avenge his capture. There is also a wounded guard who was scared by one of Sid's wild surges and is trapped in a room. The party has not left the first floor, but Alejandra knows for sure at least one more guard is on the second floor. The temple has at least 4 floors. Currently, most of the party is seriously wounded. Zoltan is out of fast healing for the day. I think Milo may be out of patches, although Sid still has a good bit. Ammo is beginning to become a problem for several party members, especially those who are using guns looted from bodies. Nick and Sid are both currently dead, although Milo knows about the resurrection device. The party is still on the first floor and most likely cannot leave the temple, we passed 7 guards on the way in. Encounter synopsis and answers to a few player questions about the situation. People on the second floor, if not others on the first floor. Yes, there is still at least one guard upstairs praying, pretty sure he was a Uber halfling, maybe a Uber pixie. Healing. Plenty of healing, but is there time? Yes, Orenda would not have surrendered mere health patches, yes, since Quartz has patches. Gathering equipment, yes, Worm is definitely carry some stuff, yes, I believe Worm is rifling through Sid's stuff, yes, Jelly searched the two guards in the room, yes, the male prisoner is now wearing a guard uniform and cloak, yes, Inyavio the drow has the recruiter's stuff, yes, blaster cells are the same for all blaster DS weapons, correct, no one has searched the guard quarters yet, just the guards and the cells. Other items of interest, yes, you can now hear people banging on the bronze doors from outside, no, the halfling was not that powerful, he had plenty of armor, there is noise coming from behind most of the doors in the temple first floor. Fun and Full is three drow rolled ones on init, one drow rolled a two, Milo missed the recruiter and hit Alejandra who had just popped out of Nick's knapsack, the lieutenant drow burned to a crisp by a grenade, one punched the halfling right after Sid passed the ice knife with damage swap, therefore killing Sid, one tossed a grenade at the stone golem, missed and nearly killed Zoltan, Alejandra. But he didn't miss Nick. Wild magic, and who caused it? I can't keep up. Sid's ice knife did cause the damage swap with the halfling and himself. Nick's fireball did cause the positional swap between Worm, the halfling, the frog town member, and himself. The halfling wearing Nick's amulet brought about the halfling-sized stone golem. Sid lit himself up like a wild magic show. Sid's and Nick's spells caused all kinds of calamities. Nick enchanted something in the temple with the ability to cast lightning bolts. Nick changed all gold coins and credit chips within 300 feet to have his likeness stamped on them, therefore now an acceptable currency. Sid's electricity protection ring went off and cursed him moments before he died. Sid's ring also made an image of his mother appear scolding his dead corpse for 3 rounds.